The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Ulster Bank. For when you want business experts that get to know you, not just your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/businessmatters.
The decision that's been taken by the European Union Council, and obviously to which we have agreed, does mean that there is now that different date of the 12th of April. I believe this is important. It gives us the opportunity, MPs next week, to look at the choices that clearly face them.
Well, the visuals from Brexit looked a little more promising this week, and I'm sure many breathed a sigh of relief when it looked like a crash-out scenario was less likely. But is it? Is the picture really any clearer? We're joined by Bridget Laffin, Director of the Global Governance Programme of the European Union, and from London by Tom McTague, Chief UK Correspondent for Politico. You're both very welcome to the programme. Bridget, first to you. It's shaping up that next week is going to be a cross between a new level of chaos and political pantomime in Westminster.
Well, I think we're now, we've always been coming towards the end game, and now we really are in at a time when decisions will have to be made, or they'll be made for the UK. So next week there will be another vote on the withdrawal agreement, probably indicative votes on various other options. But the UK has now got to decide, and I think the European Council was very effective in batting the ball back to London last week. In other words, what's going to happen? What's going to happen within the Cabinet? What's going to happen? Theresa May, will she still be Prime Minister at the end of next week? We simply don't know.
Tom McTague, I'm sure you don't know either, but when you look at the scenarios that are expected to play out, so that there's likely to be another vote on the withdrawal deal, there's likely to be these indicative votes on Wednesday, where they're going to test whether or not the House of Commons would support other alternatives. But I saw one Tory pro-leave MP, Marcus Fish, he described these indicative votes as the most ludicrous, childish and unrealistic idea I've ever seen.
Yes, well, I'm afraid I don't know what's going to happen over the next coming weeks. You're right about that. I think on Wednesday we'll see the indicative votes, but the indicative votes carry no legal weight. So this is another problem. We're sort of faced with trying to calculate what they mean politically, in practice. Can a Conservative Party stay united in to govern the country if it starts down this process of indicative votes and ends with majority support in the House of Commons for a policy which the Conservative Party can't accept? At that point, what happens? Do we start to roll towards a general election, perhaps?
Well, already, Tom, there's
a long extension.
There's been some speculation that Theresa May was going to put her third meaningful vote to the Commons on Tuesday, but now they reckon these indicative votes won't show any clear majorities for anything anyway, and she may delay it until Thursday because it would add a little bit more pressure, as if to say this is the only deal that we can realistically achieve.
Exactly, and she may never bring it back. So in her letter to MPs today or drafted last night, she was saying that she would bring back the vote if there is a sign that it had majority support. Right now, there are all signs say that there is no majority support for it. And I was speaking to one of the MPs who is pushing the indicative votes bill that will be voted on Monday before Wednesday. And he was saying it's perfectly possible that every single option will be voted down. It won't have majority support. So we could be going through this process for a while until we get to some kind of national consensus, well, parliamentary consensus. And then that, you know, presages a sort of a complete collapse in Westminster in an election.
Bridget Laffin, there is a sense that if the withdrawal treaty is defeated a third time, that Theresa May will have to resign. It could come from her own cabinet. But as Tom says there, perhaps she won't even put that to a vote at all, in which case we are really staring at a crash-out no deal on the 12th of April.
Well, I think that one has to see what happens this week, because I remain a no deal crash out is the default option, and we cannot imagine it can happen, but it would be an extraordinary end that a government and parliament would ever risk that in their society. So my expectation would still be that something will break on this, but it may not be next week, it may be the week after.
But would that break be a Theresa May resignation, a move towards new leader?
It can be so many different things at this stage. I can't imagine she can survive much longer as Prime Minister. But even if she goes, what happens? Would there be a caretaker Prime Minister, someone like Lidington, for a while to take the country through this process while the Conservative Party gets its act together, if it ever can? A general election is possible. I think for the EU, the nightmare scenario is they arrive at the 12th of April and nothing is clear.
Tom, looking at that question of a successor, first of all, there was a no confidence motion from within the party and she won that, so there can't be another one of those. But if there was a parliamentary no confidence motion in her, something that would really put pressure on her to go, where do you think the next leader would come from? Would it be a middle grounder or a Boris Johnson or a Michael Gove type figure?
I think we're getting towards the key questions here, and the way I've been looking at it is, if you look at the House of Commons, the problem with Brexit is somebody has to pay a big price. You know, they have to compromise on their principles somehow, whether that's on the Northern Irish border question or on sovereignty or any other matter. Somebody has to pay a price, and neither the Labour Party or the Conservative Party are willing to take that pay that price themselves and allow the other one to win. So I can imagine both parties will still try and hold together. I think the big risk for the European Union in this is that we end up forcing the Conservative Party to pick a much more hardline leader. You know, even a former Remainer will have to promise to the Conservative Party that they would take the UK out with no deal if we end up in a long further extension and a Tory leadership race.
Which, of course, would drag everything on, yeah. Bridget Laffin, just a final point to you. It looks as if as long as a no-deal scenario is a possibility in the short term, and it is, pressure is going to come on the Irish government from the EU to sort of fill in some of the blanks here about how we would keep the border open while preserving the integrity of the single market.
Absolutely. And that's the unasked question publicly. But of course, there have been discussions between the Commission and the other member states in Ireland, but particularly between the Commission and Ireland, on what happens in a no-deal situation. And the government will not publicly discuss this, nor should it, because the minute an Irish government says something can be managed on the border, then you come back to the alternative arrangements arguments that say, well, you know, we didn't need the backstop in the first place.
But we're starting to get into that contradictory argument already, aren't we? Because Simon Coveney has intimated that you'd need to have regulatory alignment between North and South to keep the border open. Otherwise, you are into, oh, it'll be OK, we'll come up with an alternative plan, which we told the UK didn't exist.
Well, interestingly, when the British government published its tariff schedules, it had a different schedule for Northern Ireland. In other words, it was treating Northern Ireland as different. And in my view, under any conditions for Brexit, Northern Ireland will be treated differently in the future relationship if we ever get to that.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Bridget Laffin and Tom McTague, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.